Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today is a day of overlapping identities and deep emotions. In the secular calendar, we celebrate Mother's Day, a day of gratitude for the gift of life, nurture, and the hands that held us when we were small. On the church calendar, also today, we stand in this bright, lingering light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, today observing now the sixth Sunday after Easter. Let me say again, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. At the first glance, these two Sundays might seem to pull in different directions, but one is about a domestic love and biological or adoptive bonds. The other is about a cosmic victory of Jesus Christ over the grave and then the coming of the Holy Spirit as well. Yet in our gospel lesson from John chapter 14, Jesus also speaks a word that bridges these two worlds perfectly, I'll say. He says on the screen, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. So we think about, what is an orphan? Well, an orphan is to be without a primary advocate, if you will. An orphan is to feel the coldness of the world where you have no one to claim you. So whether you're celebrating Mother's Day with joy or observing it maybe through the lens of grief or maybe perhaps through the sting of a complicated relationship, Jesus' promise here, I hope, strikes at the heart of our human need for belonging. Dear friends in Christ, we have the comfort of not being orphaned. And today, through the lens of Athens, through the exhortation of Peter, and then the promise of the upper room in the Gospel of John, we see, and I hope you do as well, that we are not alone. We're claimed by God, who was once unknown, but now has made himself known through the resurrection. So we're going to begin where the Apostle Paul began in Athens. I imagine Paul walking through the streets of Athens. It's an intellectual capital of the ancient world, and Athens was full of beauty, marble columns, towering statues, the world's greatest philosophers debating. But Paul's spirit, it says, was provoked within him. And the question is, well, why? Well, because of all its brilliance, and Athens was full of idols. The Athenians were religious, just in case. They had a god of the sea, they had a god of the harvest, a god for war, a god for beauty, and they were haunted by the fear that they may be missing one. So they erected an altar with the inscription, the unknown God. The photo you see before you is actually from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and it's one of many, many found within the ancient Rome areas with the inscription to the unknown God. So this altar, as far as I can see, is a monument to human anxiety. Represents the limit of our human reason, and that gives us anxiety in the world today. It says, we know there's something greater than us, something that governs the stars, something that governs the seasons of this world that we live in, but we don't know his name. We don't know his heart. And bigger yet, we don't know if he cares for us. Isn't that the condition of our world today as well, really? As I wrote here and as I thought, we live in such a, and I'll leave it here, a sophisticated age. We have our own Parthenians of technology and of science. And many people still live as if God is an unknown. People have a sense of spirituality. They have a vibe. They have a feeling of a higher power up there, but they lack the certainty of a Father who loves them. Paul stands in the middle of the Areopagus, and he does something very radical in my eyes. He doesn't come in there and tell them how foolish they are, or how dumb they are, or how unwise they are. He tells them that they're searching. They're searching. He says, What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. And Paul's revealing to them that God isn't a statue trapped in a temple made by human hands. He is the creator. He's the creator, the one who gives life, the one who gives breath to everything. More importantly, Paul says that God is actually not far from each one of us. In Him, we live and move and have our being. So here's my bridge to Mother's Day. Just telling you right out, okay? My bridge to Mother's Day. Just as a child lives and a child moves within the mother before birth and depends entirely on her for life and breath. See, Paul here is coming in and describing our relationship to God in an even more intimate terms. We're His offspring. But the God of unknown of the philosophers in Athens becomes the God of the known of us Christians through one specific event: the resurrection. Paul concludes his sermon by saying that God has given assurance to everything I've just said. How? By Jesus rising from the dead. The unknown God has a face. And that unknown God's face is Jesus Christ. It's not a distant force, this Jesus. He's a Savior who entered right into our history. And He did so to claim us and to rescue us. He did so to claim you and to rescue you. So think about Paul, right? He tells us how to speak to the world. Peter shows us how to live in the world. Our second reading, he's writing to a church. And this church, the people in it, they're feeling the heat of orphanhood, okay? They're being persecuted, they're being mocked, they feel like they're outcasts in the society that they're living in because of their faith in Jesus Christ, right? Believing that He rose from the dead. And Peter tells them, don't fear their fear, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, the Lord as holy. And then comes this famous command. Everyone knows this one, right? Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's in you. And there's an assumption here. Paul makes an assumption. And the assumption is that Christians will have such a hope that it'll be visible to people that they'll actually come to us and say, what's this all about, this hope that you have? He doesn't say, be prepared to argue them down. He doesn't say, be prepared to shout them down. What does He say? Be prepared to give a reason for your hope. For your hope. And the hope that we have isn't a wish. It's not like, I wish it rains out, or I wish it wouldn't rain out today. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. Know that the hope in the New Testament is a certain expectation. It's the confidence that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, our story doesn't end at the grave. And how do we give this defense? Well, Peter tells us, at the end of verse 15, do it with gentleness and do it with respect. So again, my bridge to Mother's Day. We often think of the gentle strength of a mother. A mother's defense of her children, it isn't always in a loud roar. I think it's more often in the quiet, steady presence that refuses to give up. And this is how the church is called to exist in a hostile world. Here's my gap back to our readings, right? We don't scream at the Athenians of our day. We live with such a distinct gentleness, respect, and good conscience, provoking curiosity in others. A resurrected hope that the world, which is currently drowning in anxiety and despair, looks at us and asks, how can you be different in this world today? How can you be so calm? Where does that hope come from? I know you've had the bad diagnosis. I know that you don't have a job and your finances got to be tough. I know that you're being treated unfairly. And what is our answer? It's only by the grace of God. that we obtain this peace that passes all understanding as we pass through these valleys of our life. And for many, it's the valley of the shadow of death. And that is when we keep that peace through that valley, when the unknown God is visible through you. Our hope comes from the fact that our advocate's already won. Peter says it. It's on the screen. He reminds us Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Jesus went into the dark places of the world. He went down and preached to the spirits in prison. And that's quite a reading, isn't it? The question is, why would he do that, Pastor? Well, here it is, okay? To show that there is nowhere in any corner of the universe where his lordship does not reach. That's the easy answer. So that brings us then to the heart of the matter, I'm calling it, and that's to the Gospel of John, right? They're in the upper room in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, where we heard Pastor Farden read today. It's Maundy Thursday. Shadows are long. Disciples are terrified. Jesus has just told them he's leaving them. And to the disciples, you see, it feels like abandonment. It feels like the death of their dreams. Jesus says to them, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Now, the word helper or comforter in the Greek is parakletos. I don't want to get into that too much. But literally, it means to walk alongside someone. In the legal sense of the use of the word, it is an advocate. It's a defense attorney. In the personal use of the word, it's a mentor, it's a guide, a comforter. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Again, I think of what an orphan lacks. An orphan lacks a name, it lacks a heritage, they lack a protector, they lack a home. And by promising the Holy Spirit here, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you my name. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you my Father's heritage. Saying, I'm giving you a protector who will live inside you. I think of the commandment of love. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And often when we hear the word commandments, right, all we come to our mind is this heavy burden of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. So the question may be then, right, what is Jesus' commandments here, Pastor? Well, I think we need to drop back to John chapter 13 and take a look on the screen. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So on this Mother's Day, here's my bridge again. On this Mother's Day, we see a dim sliver of that beautiful reflection of this love. Why does a mother care for her child? Is it because following a legal code, or are they afraid that they're going to be arrested by the law if they don't change a diaper? And of course the answer is no. She serves because she loves. The commandment to care for the child is written on her heart by the bond of love. Jesus is saying that the Christian life, jumping back into our text now, Jesus says that the Christian life isn't about gritting our teeth just to get through and follow the rules. It's about a relationship. Because the Spirit dwells in us, we want to love as he loved. We keep his commandments not to become his children, but because we're already his children. Well, here's the question of the day. I'm getting close. How do Acts and Peter and John come together for us today, especially as we honor our mothers? From Acts, we learn that God isn't distant, unknown. He is the Father who created us and the Savior who sought you out. From 1 Peter, we learn that our identity in Christ gives us hope that the world cannot never understand and cannot take away. A hope that allows us to be gentle, I hope, even though we may be treated harshly. And from John, the gospel, we learn that we're never alone, that you and I and all believers are adopted into his family. And then finally here, just a word for Mother's Day. Jumping back to Mother's Day now. For many, Mother's Day is, you know, a hallmark day of pure joy. I We thank God for the women who, again, reflect that helper quality of the Holy Spirit to us, who walk alongside us, who advocate for us, who love us when we are unlovable. We see in a mother's love, again, that glimpse of God's fiercely protective and nurturing love. But for others, this day's hard. Perhaps your mother was not an advocate. Maybe she was absent. Maybe she was hurtful. Maybe she was just simply human and flawed. Perhaps you're a woman who yearns to be a mother, but yet carries and faces the cross of infertility and love. Maybe you're grieving a mother. To you, to me, Jesus' words, I hope, are more powerful than ever today. I will not leave you as orphans. Those words are for you today. Human parents, as wonderful as they are broken cisterns. That's what the prophet Jeremiah says. Dear friends, they cannot be our ultimate source of life. Only God can. If you feel like an orphan today, socially, emotionally, or spiritually, know that Christ has risen for you. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. You have a seat at the table. You have a name that can never be taken away. And remember, you are not an orphan. You are never alone. You are a king, or child of the King. Dear friends, you are bought at a price. You are sealed by the Spirit. You are destined for a home where every tear will be wiped away. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is your advocate and lives inside of you. You are never alone.